for Sister Dee Dee Freeland in the hospital, having some complications, some trouble. And Sister Juan's with her tonight, and she needs a miracle, as you know, in her body. But we're praying for her, for God to touch Sister Freeland tonight, give her strength. Of course, we're always praying for all of these who are in the nursing home, for God to touch them. All these names you see on the screen here, praying for these folks, for God to touch them. And if you have a special need tonight, lift your hands. The Lord knows every need. Let's just pray tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, you see every need tonight, God. You see Sister Freeland especially, God. She's in a dire hour of need of prayer. I ask you to touch her body right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said with your stripes we are healed. God, we still hold out hope tonight that, God, you still do miracles. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, God, your perfect will be done in that situation, Lord. God, you see every need represented tonight in this house, Lord. We ask you tonight in the name of Jesus to heal. We ask you, Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus to deliver tonight, Lord. Let your word, I pray, oh God, do what only you can do, I pray, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. The writer of Proverbs 25:11 said that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It simply means that the right word spoken at the right time is valuable. The writer also said that the Lord sent his word and he healed them. What that simply means is this, is that it doesn't take a preacher coming laying hands on someone. It doesn't take any of those things. It just takes God sending his spoken word in faith. And God can do a miracle and God can do something great tonight. I don't know what it is that maybe you walked in tonight, Brother Newberry's preaching for us tonight, but I felt this just a few minutes ago. But it matters not what you walked in with tonight, but God can send his word and God can do a miracle. God can do signs and wonders. God can do things that are above and beyond what you can ask or think. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Amen. Faith can move mountains. Amen. Worship with them as they sing tonight. Praise the Lord.
I want the Lord.
amazing grace. Amen, amen. God is so good. I want to receive our tithe and offering at this time. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Lord, bless you for that. Just a couple of announcements to make in your hearing tonight. Of course, this Friday evening is our men's camp out at our lake property, and looking forward to a great night and a great morning. Starts at 4 p.m. Friday evening, ends at 12 noon Saturday, and we'll have some cooking on Friday night from our own brother Bill. He's going to cook for us Friday night. It's going to be great. And we'll have men's breakfast on Saturday morning. And if you can't make it Friday night, come out Saturday morning. It'll be a great time of fellowship there at our church property. Looking forward to a great, great time. And there is no cost for this, but donations are always welcome if you'd like to give some money to help offset any cost. Also, this Saturday, if you've not been to the gym, man, it's a lot of stuff over there. It's a church-wide garage sale, and that's happening this Saturday. But on Friday evening, if you're a part of this church, you're welcome to go over there from 5 to 7 p.m., and you can buy them all out Friday night. That'd be great as well. But if not, it's happening on Saturday morning at the R.L. Meyer Center church-wide garage sale. It's going to be a great time there. And Monday night on the 17th is, of course, our Ladies United Fellowship at Magel's Grill, and Sister Mally Hood is going to be speaking there. That's at 6 p.m. Looking forward to that. Do want to say that Sister Mallory Kelso is teaching in youth tonight. It's going to be a great night next door for our youth. Looking forward to good reports to that tonight. And everyone said Christmas banquet. Man, if you've not signed up for that, please do so. That's December the 6th, 5 p.m. next door at the R.L. Meyer Center. Don't want to miss that. It's going to be a great night. $12 per person. And looking forward to a great time, great entertainment with Bunch and Breeze. It's going to be a fun night. Please be a part of that happening on December the 6th. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this offering. Thank you for this great church. We ask you to bless tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing one more song this evening. Praise the Lord. Tonight, looking forward to this. He had something on his heart here several weeks ago, and he had spoke to me. Looking forward to the word of the Lord tonight. Make him welcome as he comes tonight. Looking forward to a great evening of worship. Amen.
Well, I got that song says, call on the name of Jesus, and them demons, I got to go. Well, tonight, my brothers and sisters here, the Lord is going to help me with this right here. And I'm going to give y'all something tonight that'll keep you from them demons. You know, as we walk through this life, I don't know how people make without Jesus. One thing I wanted to bring up, this is not a trick question. Can anybody tell me the last couple of statements that Brother Brad said on Sunday morning when we closed? I won't put you on the spot. Anybody? He said, hang on to the what? The rope with a knot. And the very last thing he said, I'm going to show you how the Holy Ghost puts one speaker here, the next one here, the next one here. He said, don't jump ship. Y'all remember him saying that? Well, you're going to understand why this ties together. I'm going to read my text, and then y'all can be seated. It's found in Genesis 6 and 14. It's, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. You can be seated. I know it's mostly family here tonight, so I'm not going to be too long. But I don't want to go too fast because the Lord gave me this thought probably a year ago. Started trying to get together about 6 months ago, and I think I'm ready now. The devil don't like this, and I'll tell you why. He's already tried to come against me. A couple of nights ago, you know, sometimes you'll Google a scripture or two, you know, just to see what's going on with it. Our internet hadn't been out in weeks, months. Guess what happened? 2 nights ago, Susie was at work. I got on there and said, not available. Try again. Refresh. But you know what? I went down there, hall. How many of you has heard of the Strong Exhausted Concordance? That thing's got every word in the Bible. And I've used that thing a bunch. So I said, okay, devil, that's okay. I'll just go over here and I'll get this. I got that. Make a long story short, I got what I needed and went on. But there's two things I want to share with y'all tonight about putting pitch on the inside and about putting pitch on the outside of an ark. The second thing I want to bring out is I'm going to talk to you about four different arks tonight. Before I get started, though, I want to say how much that I have enjoyed Brother Brad's ministry these last several months. I can't tell you how much, Brother Brad, you have encouraged me with the Word of God. It's just wham. I mean, it's like, oh, he ain't going to get no better than that. Wham. He ain't going to get no better than that. Wham. I mean, I feel like I've had an IV straight from God. And I just want to appreciate and let you know, and I'm not the only one, as you can tell, there's been several people in here. I had lunch with him a few, he had been here about a month. Me and him met and had lunch. We had a good time, talked. And I told him, I said, Brother Brad, I guarantee you I'm not nowhere near the most spiritual person over in that church. I'm way down there, hopefully in the middle, maybe down there in the bottom somewhere. I don't know, but I'm not. And you tell them different. I said, but what I will be transparent with you in everything I do. And you know what I found out, church? You cannot be spiritual without being transparent. Because you got to be honest with yourself, well, to God first, yourself, and everybody around you. And I said, he didn't really even answer me. But he looked at me like, okay, that's worth something. You know, I'll go with that. We had lunch and had a good time. But I'd really want you to know that I appreciate you so much. Brother Brad has also said what I like about him. We can't have traditional church. It can't be status quo. It can't be same old, same old. Everything in the world is not same old, same old. It is hardball. I'm talking about we got to get ready. And like in Isaiah 43:19, you got to have a new thing. You got to be refreshed. You got to, Paul said, you know, die daily and be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Before I get any further, Brother Brad's 39 and I'm 69. I'll be 70 Friday, 2 days. So he uses an iPad in his sermons, and I'm sure with a good battery in it. Well, I got Dollar General notebook paper right up here. And that's what I'm going to use tonight. But we're both trying to strive to get the Word of God to y'all. We both got the same goal at the end. So y'all bear with me. I can't scroll, but I can flip. How about that? Okay. I told him also, I said, Brother Brad, he's asked me a couple of times. I said, I'm not going to get up there unless I know God has talked to me. And I think most ministers feel that way. Anybody, even testifying. If you ain't got nothing, you get up here, you ain't going to be up here alone. You're going to be, I mean, I'm not nervous tonight. I don't mind telling you. I feel so comfortable up here. I done told the devil, this is for my people, and I'm going to move forward. And y'all, the text I had a while ago is talking about Noah putting pitch on the inside of the ark and on the outside. What is pitch? Pitch and tar are similar dark black substances derived from organic materials like coal or plants. The Hebrew word used for pitch is kopher. It's spelled with a K, K-O-P-H-E-R. And it means like a covering or atonement. The Hebrew, the things that it was used for was like ropes, waterproofing ropes, waterproofing ships. And the word atonement, I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you break it down, it's at one ment. Think about that. We're one with God. Atonement. Romans 5:10-11 says, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11 says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement. I'm going to be a little bit carnal here for a minute before I get down into where Noah's at. Brother Brad, what really comes to your mind when I say pitch inside or pitch outside? What's the first thing you think about? I said I was going to be current. Baseball. Okay. A pitcher is a key person in a baseball team. The thing of it is, the World Series just happened, just here recently. You know who the MVP was? A pitcher. They would not have won the World Series if they hadn't had that guy. I think he helped like 3 games. A pitcher has a fastball, a slow ball, inside pitch, outside pitch, off-speed pitch, curveball. Cody played baseball when I helped him when he was growing up. And he had this wicked curveball. It would curve 2 foot. And this umpire, he was an older gentleman. He said, he didn't even know, I don't think, that Cody was my son. But he said, I loved watching him pitch because, you know, he liked to go, like, when that ball would come over, he'd just go, stay right. You know, like, but a pitcher has several different pitches. to throw the batter off. Okay. Don't think for a minute the devil don't know and your flesh knows what pitch to throw you. And don't blame the devil for every pitch that comes your way. Sometimes it's just your stinking flesh. It's my flesh. We blame a lot of stuff on the devil. The devil didn't throw that at you. That was your flesh you let get in the way. So there's whatever the pitch is, he knows what pitch to pitch to you. He knows what your flesh will swing for. He knows, you know, he'll change it up. So he takes stuff and throws it at people like money, alcohol, drugs, gambling, gossip, lustful desires, all the things listed. And he even talks about things that are not that bad. They're just time killers. Personally, I think time killers is the number one thing the devil uses today. If he's got your time, you're done. You're not going to get nothing from God because you're too busy doing what you want to do. It ain't drinking, it ain't smoking, it ain't all that other. It's just 90% of the time I'm doing something what I want to do, and I'm not giving God time. So I just kind of compared that. He knows what pitch you're a sucker for. He knows. They do stats on ball players. I mean, they got it down to a T. They even wear them microphones in their ears now. They say, hey, this guy is a sucker for inside ball. I want you to knock his belt buckle off. And he strikes him out. The enemy knows the same thing. He knows what you're weak for. Gambling never bothered me. I don't know. Somebody said I was just too tight. But I worked hard. Back then, you haul hay, you do this, you work at plants, hard hours. I ain't finna go gamble my money. So I never had a problem with that. But there's other things that people have problems with. Another thing I wanted to mention, that's why you shouldn't be a stumbling block to your brother or sister. There might be some things that are really not that wrong, but don't do it in front of them. Maybe they struggled with that or something, you know. So just, you don't want to do stuff like that in front of your brother. Okay, now we're going to get to Noah. Noah had to make sure that ark was going to float and it wasn't going to sink. This is the only boat going and nobody else going to make it. So it better be a good one. Noah didn't know how to build a ship. God told him how to build it. And with details. So the ark would make the trip to the end of its journey. So Noah listened. He listened to God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Can you get that one up there? You study to show thyself approved. You know, we got to go by his instructions. The ark, I thought this was interesting. The ark was built by a rookie amateur called Noah. Noah had never built no ark. That floated approximately 150 days till the end of its journey. But was designed by God, not people. The Titanic was built by professionals and said it would never sink, and it sank on its very first voyage. But it was designed by people. So if God designs it, it will float however long it needs to float. In other words, if God's any problem, if God's in it, it'll work. I'm just telling you, everybody's got many different kinds of problems in here, but if God's in it, it'll work. Jesus walked on water. But don't worry about the boat in the storm, because Jesus can walk on water. In Matthew 14, I'm going to read all that, but, you know, Peter, he walked on water with him until he took his eyes off of him. Then he sank. And that's where we get in trouble sometimes. We get focused on something else. It goes back into that other deal about ain't got time for God. But if you take your eyes off the Lord, you're probably going to sink. Noah didn't know how long this journey was going to last. God didn't tell him. He just listened to God's word and his instructions. And he had faith. He put pitch on the inside, and he put pitch on the outside. He got it ready. He got it waterproof. His thing has got to float. It can't leak. And you and I have never been to heaven. So we better read all of God's word, listen to his instructions in the Bible, and try to figure out how we can make this journey. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture. All scripture. Not part of the Bible. Not what I want to read. Not what, this is good to me, I don't like this. It's not a cafeteria line. It's all scripture. And this, I want you to listen to what I'm fixing to say. It was Noah's job to put the pitch on the inside and the outside. It was not God's. It was Noah's job. We got to do our part. In Lamar County language, that's what that means. We got to do our part. I'm going to get into that later, but it says, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. But if you don't start drawing, he's not coming. He's a gentleman. He'll leave you alone. How many's ever heard this soul saying? It's okay to put the boat in the water, but don't let the water get in the boat. I'm going to comment on just a little bit. I bought me a brand new boat about 2 years ago. I took Susie out in it the very first time she got in it, y'all. I worked all these years with these plants. I think it's like 44. And I finally bought me a new boat. I take her out in it. We're sitting at the dock, Pat Mays. And she said, Jerry, there's water in this floor. And I said, oh, that's probably just, I don't know, we just probably splashed something in here. She said, no. There's water this deep in this floor. I said, you're right. And I put the plug that goes in the boat in the live well plug. And he knows about boats. That don't work. And we're sitting there in a $39,000 boat, brand new, with a 4-stroke 90-horse motor on it. And I'm sinking it. First time she's ever got in it. So some of you guys know I crank it. I take off. She says, no, don't go away from the bank. No, don't do that. You know what I'm doing? I'm pulling the water out of it. I said, get up here and drive. I'm back there trying to put the plug in, leaning over with a prop running. She's done freaking out, as Brother Brad says. She is freaking out. I said, let me get up here and run up and get the pickup. I'll back down real quick. Make a long story short, I nearly sunk that boat, but I got it on the trailer and it worked out. But you can't get the water in the boat. And Noah knew that. Noah knew that God said, put that pitch on there. I better put it on there good. The ark was Noah's salvation. I remember I said I was going to talk to you about a few arks. That was his salvation. That's how he got out of there, him and his family. I'm going to talk about the second ark, about Moses. It's in Exodus 2 and 3, if y'all want to put that up there. Y'all know the story. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. He was even a baby. God takes care of you at any age. The man Moses was the one that delivered that whole bunch out of Egypt. Well, it says when she could no longer hide him, she took him for an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. So we got a second ark in the Bible now. It's got pitch on the inside. It's got pitch on the outside to make it float, to keep the bad stuff out, which was water. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang with me. The question is, how do we apply pitch on the inside of us, which is spiritual, to our lives? And how do we apply pitch on the outside, which is physical things, to our lives? Let's look at the God in Scripture. And I got about 5 scriptures for like inside pitch, and I got about 5 scriptures for outside pitch. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You got to keep your mind clear of junk. You got to put that pitch up here on the inside, because now, and I'll get to this a little bit later, but that ark is in us, the Holy Ghost. So 2 Corinthians says, you don't worry about this stuff that's going to be here. You worry about the stuff you can't see, eternal. Let's look at one, Psalms 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave me. What did the pastor say about 2 months ago? Cut the mess off. That's as plain as I know how he said it. I've been trying to do that, Brother Brad. If there's something I don't need to be looking at, you got to put that pitch on the outside. Cover yourself in pitch and keep that mess away. Don't look at that. Don't touch it. Don't do none of that. The second one is 119:37 in Psalms. It says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. I looked up the word vanity in that one of them books I was talking about. It means worthless. Don't spend your time looking at worthless stuff, because you're just killing time. Besides that, it's going to finally affect you. Let's look at another inside pitch. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Don't let your mind drift. If you let your mind drift, it's going to eventually find something that you ain't supposed to be thinking about. Get the pitch. Get that pitch and put it in your head and daub some over somewhere. And I rebuke you, devil. Another outside pitch, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He ain't asking us to do nothing out of the that ain't reasonable. And while you got this ark in you, you got to take care of it. So you physically put pitch around you. Don't just go anywhere. Keep that pitch on you. So, like a radar, you know, up. I don't need to be here. I don't need to be there. James 4:7-8. It's the inside. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. If you resist, he'll flee. Verse 8, I said it a while ago. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. But you got to do your part. I'm going to stop right here just a minute. Charles Lynch was a plant manager at Kimberly Clark. He was like way before, it's several years ago. But I worked there. They had a problem with people not coming to work. You ever heard of that? They just call in. They didn't come to work. They didn't want to work. People don't want to work. A lot of them don't want to work now at all. Okay. So we had a communications meeting. He gets up there. It's like I am right now. He said, I'm gonna say just what he said. He said, look, it's not that hard work out here. It's really pretty easy. We pay good money. A lot of people come out here. We got good insurance. But you got to come to work. We got, I'm just asking you to show up. Just show up. That's what he said. He was that blunt about it, Brother Brad. He said, just show up. We'll work with you after you get here. But he said, we got too many people missing. God is the same way. You know, and I'm preaching to me tonight too. Don't read your Bible once every 3 months. Show up every day. Show up. Brother Brad said, get in that prayer room. Y'all see how much difference we've seen? How much difference have we seen in that prayer room? The anointing is in from there and here. So you got to show up. You got to put the pitch in. Say, hey, man, I got to think. Genesis 3:3. This is an outside. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. You know, we've always got on to Eve first, because she started it. All you guys, I know y'all grinning now, but he followed right along with her. It's just as much his fault. But here's one thing we do not pick up on that scripture. We always get on to them about eating it, but nobody ever says much about touching it. That's a little bitty thing there that you overlook. I have. He didn't say just don't eat it. He said don't touch it. And I've got, the Lord gave me a little thought here. It's called the three T's. The three T's that the enemy wants you to do or follow is think, touch, and take. Here's what I mean by that. You think about something you shouldn't. That's number one. You touch something you shouldn't. That's number two. And then the word take, if you take the word partaking, take is the root word of partaking. If you think about it and you touch it, you're probably going to go do it. That's the same thing Eve did. See, she done all three. And if you're making this bad decisions, you're going to take somebody with you. She took Adam right with him. Both of them got kicked out of the garden. I believe it's in James 1:14-15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. How many men? Every man. Every one of us is enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the way it works. You think about it, you touch it, and you partake of it. And I'm talking about putting pitch to keep that stuff from happening on the outside and on the inside. David didn't die. He mentioned it the other day. He forgave him as soon as he repented. But the baby died. Another scripture, 1 Peter 5:8. This is in your mind. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour. You got to be sober in your mind. Get that pitch in there and keep stuff out. Ephesians 5:17-18. Pitching outside. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's what we want, isn't it? The will of the Lord. What the will of the Lord is. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You got to put enough pitch on the outside of the ark. Don't let no, you know, just like it says, don't be drunk. You can't, you got to take care of your body. There's things on the inside we got to take care of, in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, and there's things physically we got to take care of. That's why Noah had to put pitch on the inside, and he had to put it on the outside. Isaiah 54:17, I'll move on a little quicker. No weapon is formed against thee that shall prosper. If you will put a little of that pitch on the inside, you got to tell yourself, ain't nothing going to bother me because God's got my back. And you got to put that pitch in there. Ephesians 6:11, it talks about the whole armor of God. Put all that stuff on and keep that bad stuff out. There's many more scriptures. That's just a few. Here's one. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another. This is for inside and outside pitch. You know, some scriptures cover the inside of the ark and the outside. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to goods, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. which is what we're doing tonight, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much is more you see the day approaching. We need spiritual help to be together for the inside pitch. And we need the fellowship for the outside pitch. It's like the camp out Friday night. Whatever comes up on the schedule, and we get together. We don't just get together to get together. We get together, say, hey, man, how you doing? You need anything? Or, you know, enjoy one another. 1 John 1 and 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ's Son cleanses us from all sin. Okay, we've talked about Noah's Ark. We've talked about Moses' Ark. Now let's talk about the third Ark. The Ark of the Covenant. God was extremely serious about the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. It was a symbol of his divine presence. It was considered the throne of God on earth back in the Old Testament. It had a physical representation in his presence among the Israelites, and it was not to be touched by anyone but the high priest. That's the way it was back then. That's the way before we got this other stuff. So if God was serious in the Old Testament, he's serious in the New Testament. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ the same today, forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. John 3 and 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I looked up verily, verily. I always wondered. Well, I ain't really sure what that means. It means truly or certainly. If you read it like this, certainly I say unto thee. That's certain. Certain means you for sure. You ain't going, unless you're born of the water and the spirit, you're not going to the kingdom of God. Matthew 5 and 17 says, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. So it doesn't matter. If you're in the Old Testament, New Testament, in God's word, you better put that pitch in and you better put it out physically. King David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem from Palestine. I'm not going to read all of it. It's chapter 6 is the story. He gathered the chosen men. There was about 30,000 of them. They take off. They set the Ark on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab. Abinadab had two sons. Uzzah and Ohio, Ohio led the new cart. David and all the house of Israel worshipped. They danced and they shouted as they take this ark. In other words, they was pitching in and they was pitching out. They was getting stuff together. They had their act together. It's going along. But after they got a little ways caught, Nachon's threshing floor between Abinadab's house and Jerusalem, Uzzah put his hand out and touched the ark. What did I just say a while ago? You can't touch the ark. Because one of the oxen stumbled and he was going to try to catch it. He's going to help God out. No, that was a bad no-no. It was so bad the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah and he killed him. He smote him. It says he smote him. And he died right beside that ark. And here I go. King David was displeased with God. In other words, he was ticked off because he killed Uzzah. He said, Uzzah died. King David was mad and afraid, so mad he did not continue the trip to Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to take this ark to the house of Obed-Edom. And he left it there 3 months. Had a mad spell for 3 months. I'm going to stop here just a minute. Anybody but me, as Brother Bradham says, has anybody but me got mad at God? I know we all have. I'm going to tell you a little quick, short story. I had a cousin way over 20-something years ago. He's in a bad accident, a fire, Shamrock Oil. Two other guys got hurt. It was a bad fire. It put him in a Lubbock burn center. He was burnt so bad that it scorched his eardrums. You know how hot you got to get to do that? I mean, and I was really crazy about Charlie. And I thought, bless God, I said, this guy, he's going to make it. Jeff, he's going to make it. I'm going to fast 3 days. And I did. And I got through fasting. I said, Charlie's going to make it. I didn't fast it 3 days. I just really believe he's going to make it. Charlie died. I just want to say this to you, and I'm going to be careful how I say this, Brother Brad. Just because you fast, I don't care if it's one meal, one day, 3 days, however long you want to go, that does not change the will of God. All that does is make your stinking flesh want to eat. And it gets you more sensitive to God's word. It gets you more sensitive to God's word. But I learned through that experience and some other times too that I fasted on some things. You'll get the results of God's will. It may not be what you want, but you'll get an answer. And I tell you what, I was mad at God. I'll never forget it. You can ask my wife. I just really got bent out of shape. And David was mad because Uzzah was struck dead. David's thinking, dear God, I'm bringing this thing home. I'm bringing it back. I got everything in order. We're dancing. We're shouting. We're praising God. We're doing all the above. I'm doing everything I know to do. And you kill the man that's helping me. So he got mad. So he goes to this house, Obed-Edom. And he leaves it there 3 months. And this is where it gets good. After about a few months, the people over there in at this guy's house, the people of Israel said, hey, have you noticed what's going around over there? They got that Ark of the Covenant over in their house. Man, they got it going on. Everything's good in the neighborhood. You know, everything's going great for them. They're getting blessing after blessing after blessing. And David, he can get, you know, you've heard the saying, you can get glad in the same shoes you got mad. Well, that's what he did. He gets over his mad spell. He said, I guess I'm going to go get it. And let's see. Right up here. After he wasn't afraid, he gets everything back together in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And he takes off and they load everything back up. They make their way. And they start heading towards Jerusalem. And they're shouting, playing the trumpets, really getting after it. And they get up there and they get closer. And they get closer. And as they get into Jerusalem, here's what happens. This is for the naysayers. David's coming in from that house that he got that from for all these blessings. He's coming up this way. His wife, Micah, looking out the window. She's up there. I cannot believe he's took his robe off. And he's down there dancing. David's down here. You know what he's doing? He's pitching on the inside and he's pitching on the outside. Praise God. We're going to make it. We're going to bring it here. You know what happens? His wife made fun of him. Got him up there. He finally gets back up in the house. She chews him out again. But you know what? She was barren after that. Just a word of information. The last mention of the Ark of the Covenant was found in the Old Testament. It's in 2 Chronicles 30. Y'all don't have to get that one. 2 Chronicles 35 and 3, when King Josiah, he commanded that the Levites place the Holy Ark back in the house that Solomon built. And if you, I've tried to research it, and I don't. It said its fate. The Ark is not mentioned when the Babylon conquered Jerusalem in 586 B.C. Its fate is unknown, with no further biblical accounts. So we don't know. There's two theories of what happened to that Ark of the Covenant. One, it was taken by the Babylonians during the invasion of Jerusalem. They destroyed it and melted it down, got the gold. That's all they care about. The second thing that scholars have said, that maybe the Israelites hid it, or maybe they destroyed it before they got it taken away from them. So nobody knows, but, you know, what did the Ark of the Covenant have to do with salvation in the Old Testament? It says the Ark of the Covenant was central to ancient Israelite because it represented God's divine presence among his people and was the focal point for atonement. I want to just mention now, as I move into the fourth and final ark. You know, the Old Testament had many types of shadows that would be come to pass in the New Testament. Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, was one of them. He made it possible by him dying on the cross that we could go, he made a better way for man. Okay. He made it possible that the high priest doesn't have to go behind the veil anymore. I want you all to bring up Matthew 27, 50, 51. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent from twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks went rent. Philippians 2 and 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more, says Paul, in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Your mama can't do it. Your daddy can't do it. It's got to be you. Nobody can get your salvation. 1 Corinthians, I'm talking about the fourth ark. I'm getting 19 and 20. What? That's a question. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. Verse 20 is a statement. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glory God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I've got a Bible that is called Easy. Brother Brad, you might have. It's Easy English Version. It's real. You got to kind of watch some of these versions. But this is what it says in the same verse. It says, your body is the home of God's Holy Spirit. God gave his Holy Spirit to you, and he lives in you. You do not belong to yourselves any longer. God bought you for himself. He paid the price for you. Use your body to give honor to God. So your body is the ark of God now. So you better put that pitch on the inside, and you better put it on the outside. Romans, we talked about, beseech you therefore, be a living sacrifice. But verse, I think it's 2, says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Pitch in and pitch out, protect your ark. Acts 1 and 8, as we move just a little bit further. It says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of earth. Now you're going to have power to fight against the world and the devil after that ark gets inside of you. And then we all know, what must we do? How do I get that divine presence that was in the Old Testament into me? And we know it's Acts 2:38. I'm not going to take time to read it. But he said, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we got to do what Peter said. Paul said, be instant in season and out of season in 2 Timothy 4:2. And his brother Brad said here lately, he said, I'm fixing to land this thing. Just a few more comments before I close. At the first of this message I mentioned, there were two things I wanted to share with y'all in this message. Number one was putting the pitch on the inside and the outside. Number two was there was four different kinds of arcs, and all four arcs had to do with salvation. All four of them had salvation in one way or another. There's two more things as a close I want to share with you about them. Number one, make sure you put plenty of pitch spiritually on the inside of your ark, and make sure you put enough on the outside physically in these last days. And I thought this was a neat thought that God had gave me. One of the main points in this message is, in the Old Testament, man was inside the ark. In the New Testament, the ark inside the man. You see how he flipped that thing around? He made it work. He was very disappointed with mankind, so he floods the whole world. So I'm going to do this different. He goes through all them prophets. We go down through time. He said, I'm going to put this. I don't think we really realize. You think about how serious, that guy touched the ark and he died. Uzzah died. And we get to walk around with it inside of us now. And that is so awesome. You don't have to wait on nobody to come do that for you. You don't have to wait on no high priest. You ain't got to wait on nothing. God has made a way for you to be one-on-one. I hope I didn't bore you. I thought that was pretty neat how God could take something so simple and turn it around. And even though it's very complicated, it's simple. I hope I helped somebody tonight. These last few months, Brother Brad's messages has done surgery on me with that sharp knife going in and out. You know, when I clean fish, you want a good, sharp fillet knife. A dull knife won't do nothing but tear up stuff. And Brother Brad is smart enough to come in here with a sharp knife. He could come in here with a dull knife and say the wrong words and rip you apart. But he has been so good about coming in here and cutting me right where I need to be cut. He might cut you somewhere else. But he pulls it out and he don't tear you apart. I love this church. And I thank Brother Brad for having confidence in me to get up here and just talk about the Lord. Appreciate it.
And let's all stand and praise the Lord together. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. God, we worship you, Jesus. We give you praise tonight, Lord. We magnify your name, Jesus. There is no one like you, God. We praise you tonight, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You got your Bible. I think I'm going to say something about this Bible's kind of old, and I heard Brother T.F. Tenney say years ago, a Bible that's worn out usually belongs to somebody who's not worn out. It belongs to somebody who's still going strong in the faith. And what Brother Newberry has taught to us tonight is simply this, that if you'll get a relationship with the Lord and if you'll let God work on you, it's the old Joel Hemphill song, he's still working on me. If you let God work on you through prayer, through his word, amen, I promise you, friend, you'll hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant in the end. Thank you, Brother Newberry, for a great word tonight. Amen. God is so good. I mean, I love the rich word of the Lord. I mean, it always takes place, and it'll take. The Bible says his word will not return void. That simply means that when God sends his word, it's going to report back to heaven. Either I received it or I rejected it. It's a pretty sobering thought, amen. And I pray you let the word of the Lord take root in your heart. And again, thank you, brother. That was a great word. We appreciate you. And you may have noticed, just on a side note, when you drove up, it looked like someone came through with an 18-wheeler and took out our bricks outside, and we had someone run into that today. And thank God he didn't die, literally. Amen. Brother Micah was leaving and saw it happen, but it was a miracle from God. He didn't get hurt, but you'll see that. And it's not me up here mad at 3 in the morning tearing apart bricks. I promise you that. And but we'll call the insurance in the morning and try to take care of that. But we love you so much. Thanks for coming on a Wednesday night. We appreciate you. And greet each other. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here.